We take a copy of the Word of the Lord and turn to Revelation. This morning we'll be reading from Revelation chapter 5. We've already seen the picture of the throne in chapter 4, with the cherubim surrounding it, the elders surrounding them. And here we learn and see with John more of this throne and what is going on there. So Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and we'll read through the entire chapter. This is God's Word. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and a number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. That is the word of the Lord. You should give your attention to it because of that. And here we see on the right hand of the Father lies the scroll, or a book, which represents God's eternal plan, as we will see in the coming chapters. And it is an all-comprehensive book. It represents God's purpose with respect to the entire universe throughout history. And this scroll is sealed with seven seals. That is, his eternal plan being sealed is unrevealed. It is unexecuted. If the scroll remains sealed, God's purposes are not realized and his plan is not carried out. And that is why the angel with a loud voice asked, "Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals?" And we see, because there is no one worthy to reveal these things and execute these things, John weeps because of that. That no one would be found, no one who is found to break the seals and to have God's plan revealed and executed. We would all weep if that were the end. But one of the 24 elders said to John, there is one who can open the seals. The great Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the one who has conquered. Victory has already been won by him over the great enemy, over the great serpent of old, by his blood spilt. And so the elder reminds us, at least to the ones who knew the scriptures, and hopefully that's us, that reminds us of Genesis 49. the prophecy there of Judah and the lion of Jesus. Judah, it says there, Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, and that staff, the scepter, declares his authority, which we see he receives here. And so this is a prophecy of God the Son, Jesus Christ. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered death and he has conquered sin. And through his conquering, he has earned the right to open the seals of this book. He has earned the right to rule the universe according to God's eternal plan. And so in the midst of the throne, it says, there is a lamb, Jesus, as if slain. And he's standing there with seven horns. In the Old Testament, we know the horn often represents God's power, the power or authority. And here it's seven, so it's perfect power and perfect authority, and it is God's perfect power and authority that is on Jesus. And the seven eyes, which we've already learned in Revelation, is the Holy Spirit, so he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see the ascended Christ crowned with glory and honor. So Jesus has received the kingdom. Jesus reigns, indicating the start of the millennium, as we'll look at later. And so here the Father is governing the universe through the Lamb, through Him, through the Son. And no sooner has the Lamb taken up the scroll and is seated on the throne, and there is a great outburst of triumph and exuberant joy in three doxologies. Usually we just see one doxology. I don't know any place in Scripture where we have three. Here's three doxologies, because he sits on the throne. And there's a picture of the cherubim and the elders falling before the throne in worship to this great King, the Son, sitting on the throne. And here they sing a new song. New, because never before has such a great and glorious deliverance been accomplished. And never before has the Lamb received this great of honor. The song is the song of redemption. And then verse 11, around the throne are the four cherubim, as we saw in chapter 4, and then around them the 24 elders. And then he sees around these elders surrounding the throne are thousands upon thousands, myriads upon myriads of angels. All of the angels are saying with a loud voice, a voice which would shake the very foundations of that place. Worthy is the Lamb. And then around the angels is every created thing, whether in the sea or on the earth or under the earth, it says, even in the heavens. Every created thing, the entire universe surrounds the throne. So what's in the middle? The throne. Where is all the control and the power and the authority? It's at the throne. And so we have comfort here, because God's in control and His plan is being done. God the Father, through the Son, is accomplishing His eternal purposes. And so the picture of the center of all creation, of all the universe, is the throne. And the elders keep falling down and they keep worshiping. And the cherubim continue to say amen. Why? Because they can do nothing else when they're hearing these praises from all the angels and the elders and all of creation. They can do nothing but say that they agree with Him. Amen. Truly. And here is a picture of the throne of God and the Lamb who sits on that throne, who is worthy of all glory and praise and honor and worship. And that is the picture we go to now as we worship Him and we look forward to even now, but in our worship. So let us pray now as we think upon such things. Father, we do thank You that there is one who is worthy, who has been worthy to open these seals. And Lord, we thank You that He is Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. That He now reigns on the throne. That all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And therefore we know that He is not far from us. He is with us by your Spirit. And he says, lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. And so, Father, we ask and thank you. Well, we thank you that you have given us your Son. And that we have this picture which gives us confidence to come before your throne and worship you. Because he sits on the throne, the one who died for us. The Lamb who was slain for us. The one Lamb who you have provided for us. Who takes away the sin of the world. You have provided him for us. And he sits on the throne. And so not only do we have confidence to come and worship you, even you, the Holy God, despite our sin, which, Lord, forgive us of our sins. But Lord, we have comfort. Comfort knowing, like John, we don't have to weep anymore. We don't have to weep over our sin. We don't have to weep over what our sin deserves. Because Christ has accomplished redemption for us. Now, Father, we don't have to weep like John because there's the plan, your eternal plan is unrevealed or unexecuted, but rather you have revealed it to us. You've revealed it to us in this book and in the Scriptures. And you are executing your plan, your eternal plan, even now. And so, Father, we ask for your help and your comfort upon us and that confidence which we should have as we come before the throne of grace. Lord, while we don't weep for our sin in the sense that it has been dealt with by Christ, we do weep over our sin as we continue to sin, as we continue to enter into it. And so we ask that you would bless us, cause us to see our sin, as we, I think we learned this morning in Sabbath school, that we would see our sin, that we'd be able to repent of our sin, our particular sins particularly, as best we can. That we can see not only how horrible sinners we are, but we can see how great a Savior we have because He died for every single one of our sins. Lord, be merciful to us and gracious. And Lord, let us join at the right time, join with all these angels and cherubim and the elders and all of creation, that we would bow down before our Savior and Lord, the Lamb who is slain in eternity in glory. And may you bring that time soon, Lord. We'd long to be with you. And yet, Lord, we know that you desire us to be here because you have not numbered our days as of yet. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.